Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day I don't give up, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I won't pick up, just for the day I won't pick up, just for the day and God I trust, just for the day I won't pick up, and God I trust I don't give up. Yo, you can go and tell the wee man, he ain't got nothing that I need, man. I ride by that ABC store saying, hey, you won't be seeing me no more. Yo, you can go and tell the trap boy, yo, it's a rap, boy. You are not welcome in me, casa. You ain't got nothing for me, nada. No matter how hard life hits, I know where my light is. Yo. No matter how hard the crisis, yo, I know who Christ is. Yo. No matter what I won't pick up. Yo. No matter what I won't pick up. No matter what I won't pick up. Yeah. No matter what I won't pick up, just for the day. No matter what I won't pick up.
All right, all right. Welcome, listeners, to the Recovery Just for Today show. We're live on We Inspire Network, WIN Radio. I'm your host, Lloyd B., with my co-host and Father Lloyd Sr. We come on every Monday at 8 p.m., and this is the show that's dedicated to those in recovery, the still suffering addict, and we also are a resource to the family members and loved ones of those who are struggling with addiction. This is the show where we share our experience, strength, and hope each night, and normally my father and I, you know, we host the show together, and, you know, we try to just share what, share our experiences and hope, hoping that someone will be able to hear something that could possibly save their lives. Each show we begin with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict, and for the addict that may have died in active addiction, and also the family member of the still suffering addict, followed by the serenity prayer. So if you would, please take a moment, and we would appreciate it if you would join us in a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. Serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And as I said before, this is the show that is dedicated to those who are in recovery. And, you know, one of the things that we try to do each season is to try to have shows that are dedicated to both the person who may be struggling, the person in recovery, as well as the person who may be a family member or a loved one of the person in addiction. So we have a good show for you tonight. Actually, this is the season finale. So, you know, I'm excited about that. You know, you've tuned in to the actual season finale. So we are celebrating, you know, we want to celebrate, and we're grateful, you know, and grateful for this this second season that we have, we're concluding. And, you know, if you want to, matter of fact, let me let my father, co-host, would you like to greet the audience? Lloyd Sr.?
Yes. Yes. I'm here. Good evening, audience. Once again, as always, I'm delighted to be able to come to you in this forum to discuss what we feel is a very very important issue, the issue of substance abuse. And tonight we have a special guest with us. I'm delighted to let you know, Lloyd, that I have my better half here with me, and she is the person that you she's the person who brought you into this world. So she's here with us too, and maybe she wanted to just say hello to their audience as well.
Okay.
Well, hello, audience, and I'm just glad to be here to try and share and talk to you guys tonight.
We are definitely grateful for the guest, and you know, he kind of Lloyd Senior kind of jumped ahead on me a little bit, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, you
but
know
it's
how
all
I
good.
Am. It's especially when we don't talk to one another before the show.
Hey, look, listen, guys. You know, we love to have fun, and you know we're gonna have fun because this is, like I said, this is the season finale. And that's right. You heard us correct. This is season two. We're concluding season two. And not only are we grateful for two successful seasons, but we are thankful and excited to conclude this season joined by two, not one, but two of the most important, impactful people in our lives. That's right. My father's wife and my mother, Joyce B., as well as my wife and mother of my children, Minister Annie B. So, Minister Annie B, would you like to also say hello to the audience?
Yes, yes. Good evening. Thank you again so much for allowing me to be a part of the program this evening.
Yes, and well, we'd like to welcome both of you ladies. You know, like I said, you know, these are two of the most important and impactful people in our lives, our wives, and like my father said, you know, my mother, and as well as my wife. And so, welcome to the show, ladies. And tonight's show, the title of tonight's show is Get Help, Fam. Fam, of course, is short for family, so you know, get help, family, or get help, fam, you know. And the topic is how addiction can wreak havoc on the family and why family members need support as well. And, you know, so that's what we're going to kind of be discussing because, like I said before, you know, we like to try to throughout the season, we try to be a resource for family members as well as the people who are in recovery as well as those who are struggling at the time, at this moment with addiction, you know, because and I'm going to make this statement, and I'm going to ask you guys if you guys agree, you know, and the reason why we do this is because addiction is a condition that affects the entire family, you know. So would you all agree with that? Let me pose that question to Minister Annie B. and then pass it on to Joyce B.
Yes, definitely, I would agree with that statement. It's like throwing a pebble into the water, the still water. It webs out, and it does impact each person in the family dynamic, and it also impacts each person differently. So it is very important. This topic is very important to discuss simply because of that, and how to lessen the negative impact and pull on greater impact of the positive impact out of it, so that each person can learn how to cope within the family dynamic until they are gone. The other part of it as well is even those who have moved on, like children who grow up and move out of the family, that web or that ripple in the water, it will impact their own lives with their own family. So again, I have to say I definitely agree.
How about you, Joyce B., mother?
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. With what you both said, that is so true. We think that at first that it's just, you know, the person that has the addiction. Actually, it affects each and every person in the whole family.
Excuse me, Lloyd Senior, what do you have to say about that?
Well, what the two guests said, it's they hit the nail on the head. Addiction affects the whole family. You know, I sit sitting there thinking, my personal experience is that I think the effect that my drinking and using had on your mother was one of the primary reasons that I got help, that I finally, you know, came to my senses and wanted to clean myself up, because I saw that the effect that it was having on her, you know, and to be real tonight, you know, I do feel ashamed even until this moment that I'm talking, that, you know, how I put her through what she went through, making excuses for so I could continue my, you know, foolish, my madness, you know what I mean? That's what happens to a person who gets in the role of enabling a person to actively use and whatnot. You know, they make phone calls for them, and you know that, and they do, they, you know, pay bills and, you know, and stuff like that, and all kinds of stuff they do, you know. And so yeah, when I look back today, you know, this type of form that this subject you're having tonight, hopefully we will talk about something that will help some addicted person to listen to, and some person who is in the enabling role to hear something, you know, to try to go and get help. I hope that makes sense to y'all.
It does, and you know, and I too agree with, you know, that statement, because, and kind of also what Annie was speaking on, she touched on, you know, how not only it affects the family immediately, you know, because say for instance, you know, you got someone listening today who is caught up in active addiction, and say you have a family, and you know, your wife and your children, or your loved ones, those in your immediate circle, your immediate family, are getting the effects of, or feeling the effects of that ripple that Annie was speaking about immediately. That's your immediate family. They feel that immediately. You know, those are those people who are right close to you, close to the eye of the storm, if you will. So, you know, they feel it immediately, you know. But also, like Annie said, the ripples continue generationally. This is why it's important for us to talk about this today, because hopefully we can break some cycles. Because, you know, what happens is, you know, we don't talk about it, people don't get help, and it continues to trickle down and trickle down and trickle down, and continues to be a problem from generation to generation to generation, you know. And, you know, hopefully, you know, one of the reasons I'm so grateful that we're in our second season, you know, and God has blessed us to be able to be in our second season, is because, like I said, you have two generations here who are trying to break the cycle, you know, two generations here who have known the effects of, you know, drugs and alcohol, you know, addiction and alcoholism. We know the effects of it, the negative effects of it. We know how it impacts our family in a negative way. We know the vicious cycle. So that's why we come and we try to share our experience, strength, and hope, hoping to break that cycle, because we know that it is something that, that can ripple into generations. You know, you're actually listening to it, you know, as you listen to this radio station, because like my father said, and I'm sure my mother will probably share a little bit too, about how, you know, alcoholism bit her, you know, in her youth. You know what I'm saying? Not by way of using drugs and alcohol herself, but by her parents, you know, and then she saw it in our home through my father, and then I saw it in my home through my father, and then, you know, and so, you know, that cycle could continue to go, you know, by the grace of God. I've been sober, and my children and my wife haven't seen or experienced that, you know. But some people may be in that third and fourth generation of that addiction plaguing your family. So that's why it's important that we have this conversation. But what we're going to do is we're going to come back after our break, and we'll pick up where we left off. So if you would just stay tuned, and we will be right back after our commercials. And once again, we thank you all for tuning in, and stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Minister Lloyd Bell Jr., CEO of We Inspire Network Radio.
God bless you, and I am Minister Annie Bell, the COO of We Inspire Network Radio. We had you, our listeners, in mind when we created We Inspire Network Radio, or as we like to call it, WIN Radio.
We incorporated your thoughts and opinions to ensure that our programming will embody true inspiration.
And we will continue to bring relevant and heartfelt shows that cater to the needs and wants of our growing listener base.
Please, subscribe to our network so that you can stay connected.
Join us here every week,
where together, through God, we win.
Sadly, today, most of us know at least one person that suffers from addiction or substance abuse. Addiction does not discriminate. No age, gender, race, or classes of people are immune to the horrors of addiction. This epidemic has ruined families, claimed lives, and left loved ones devastated. Over 100 people die from overdoses daily, and over 20 million Americans suffer from some form of addiction. For this reason, author Lloyd H. Bell Jr. has written the book Clean and Serene. The author is an addictions counselor and recovering addict of over 13 years. He knows and has firsthand experience of being caught in the grips of addiction. Clean and Serene provides experience, strength, and hope for the still suffering addict. It can also be used as a tool in recovery. Whether it is used in a group setting or individually, this book was written to assist in the recovery process and encourage. Integrating inspirational, encouraging, and challenging scriptures, the author has provided a resource that is sure to change lives. If you or someone you know is battling with addiction, this book is for you. If you are in recovery, this is a great resource to add to your toolbox. If you are a group leader or addictions counselor, this is an awesome book for group therapy. Clean and Serene, Scriptural Meditations for Recovery, is available nationwide in both ebook and print. Get your copy or a copy for some you know today from Amazon or Barnes & Noble Bookstore. For less than $10, you can potentially change the life of someone currently paying the high cost of living with an addiction.
All right. Welcome back, listeners, to the Recovery Just for Today show. And we are definitely celebrating. We are celebrating recovery. We are celebrating the fact that we have, this is the season finale, and this is season two. So we are celebrating a second season of the Recovery Just for Today show, hosted by myself, Lloyd B., and my co-host and father, Lloyd Sr., and we come to you live Mondays at 8 p.m. on the Wynn on our radio network. So we are just grateful today to be able to come to you on this platform. We have two extraordinary guests tonight, Minister Annie B., as well as Joyce B., who happen to be our lovely wives, and we are just ecstatic tonight. And we've been talking about the topic of how addiction can wreak havoc on the family, and why family members need support as well. And before the break, we were actually talking about not only can addiction wreak havoc on your family immediately, as far as in the present, but it can also impact your family in a negative way for generations and generations. Did anybody want to touch on that before we moved on to the next question? No? Okay.
Yes.
So what? Somebody said yes?
Yes. This is Joyce B. That is so true that, having a family member that's actively using, it really does affect the whole family, as I said that before. And many times, we don't know what to do. We want to help. We want to, but we don't know what to do. I found that one of the greatest supports that I was able to get was when I began to attend the Al-Anon meetings. That's a great resource for helping family members. It's a way of, getting some support and helping you to deal with and, be able to, be able to cope better with, with the situation that you're in.
Yes, and I appreciate that. And, that was one of the things. Yeah, that was definitely one of the things I was going to ask. Another thing I wanted to ask too is, and maybe Minister Bell and Joyce B, maybe you two can help us with this one, is what are some toxic or unhealthy ways loved ones respond or try to cope? Because like you said, sometimes, they don't know how. People don't know how to respond. People don't know how to cope. So they respond in unhealthy ways or something that becomes toxic. What are some things that you guys can share with people that may be toxic or unhealthy ways people respond or cope to the family member whose behavior?
Well, this is Minister, what is it? I forgot what's my
Annie
my
B.
name on the show.
Annie B.
These cold names.
I'm gonna just start saying wifey and mommy.
Oh yeah. Now, as a lot of people, I guess, don't know. the dynamic of our relationship, but I did not come into the marriage with him in active addiction. So my situation was a little bit different, and I had no prior experience with anyone who was an addict or an active addiction. And to even, you know, preface even the more, I have a very aggressive and no-nonsense, no-patience type personality. And so coming into the marriage, I understood that he was recovering. He was a recovering addict. So I thought, okay, in recovery, he's done. He's not in active addiction, so I don't have to really worry about it. But what happened was that even though he was not using the substances, there were still behaviors of an addict that rippled into our relationship. There were things that he would do that an addict would do. And so that was became very disruptive and destructive to our relationship until I had to really understand that just because he is not using the substances anymore doesn't mean that he doesn't have some of the behaviors. He still has a process of being completely delivered. And but I was thinking once he had finished that he was already delivered. So I had myself a delivered man. And that realization, when it was that untruth, when it slapped me in the face, and when I say slapped me in the face, I mean it slapped me in the face, that I was on the floor trying to figure out, you know, and you've seen those cartoons with the little swirly things swirling around the head going, wait a minute, I don't even understand. And so I think one thing that's very important to communicate to someone who is going into a relationship with a recovering addict is that the behaviors, some of the behaviors are there. And I'm just going to give a quick example, and I'm sorry if I'm putting all our dirty laundry out there. But one of the things that happened.
Don't
feel around, boy. I'm trying to get. We're trying to make sure that people are delivered, right? We want healing,
talk
right?
About
and
it,
so,
talk about it.
All right. So when we got married, we had given each other wedding gifts, and they were quite expensive. It was Movado watches, his and hers, and you know, so it was matching. One day I found while we were trading in our car, getting a new car, I found a slip for a pawn shop, and I'm looking through the slip and I'm thinking, what is this? And $50 Movado watch. And I looked over at my husband, and I tell you, he was driving, and if our daughter wasn't in the car, I would probably would have slapped him through the window, and I'm not, you know,
wow.
I'm just talking there. But I was so hurt that he would pawn our wedding gift for $50.
Wow.
$50. Did we need the money? No. We had plenty of money in the bank account. We were doing well. There was no reason for him to pawn it. Not only did he pawn it, but he forgot about it, and he never went back and got the Movado watch back. And each of the Movados were $1,000 a piece. So for him to pawn it for $50, and so every day, and even to this day, when I put my watch on, I think about that moment when I found that pawn slip. So, One of the don'ts is don't go into a relationship or a marriage with a recovering addict without fully understanding the disease and how far it webs into the person and how long it actually takes to process it completely out. Just like the people who came out of Israel, you know, when they exited out of Israel, they had to literally walk around the wilderness for 40 years because they had to get some of that stuff out of them. And even when times got hard, they wanted to go back and revert back to what they knew. They were saying, well, you should have left us in Egypt where we had, you know, all the food we wanted to eat. But they were enslaved. And so that, I would say that would be a don't. And another don't or another thing that could be toxic is those who might be inactive addiction to think that if you as a spouse or as a child say, please stop, you know, do you see the destruction that that you think that they will stop? And that you think that the love that they have for you is enough to make them stop. This is a disease. It's like saying, don't you love me? If you love me, make that cancer go away. Well, you can't. There are things that has to be done to get that cancer out of the body. So I hope I didn't take too much time, but those are my two toxics.
Well, that was really good. I appreciate your honesty. And
I got some more some more dirt. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
No, I think that's enough for you tonight. Go ahead. Which one of these?
Y'all give me a call, and I'll tell y'all everything.
Yeah, but you know, no, but you know, and I'll say something on that in a little while. But I want to hear from mom too. Come on, Joyce B., what do you have to say?
Well, you know, I grew up in a household with both parents. But anything at that time, you know, when you're young, you don't even know. But at that time, I didn't even know that alcoholism was a disease. I mean, you know, it's just so much that family members need, you know, they need to learn and get to know what alcoholism, you know, the main thing is to learn that it is a disease. Before knowing that, you know, I mean, you know, you just think that the person is just, you know, they're just getting drunk and, you know, you just really don't understand it. But growing up in a household with two parents that were alcoholics, I don't know how to explain it or what to say, but I can tell you this, that it made me decide that I did not want to be a drinker. And I just wanted to, and I did not want my children to grow up, you know, in a household like what I had grew up in. And so that's why I just felt like I needed to, you know, get myself educated, you know, learn more about it, and then in turn, you know, help my children to learn more about it, you know, the disease, that it is a disease, and what it was all about. But growing up in a household like that, you have a tendency to, you know, you do things, you think you're helping, like you want to help. And the things that you do, like, I used to do things like, you know, go to grocery store for my mom. I mean, things that my mom probably should have been doing, you know, I was doing them. And then later on, after, you know, left home and got married and stuff, then same thing with your dad, you know, there were things that he probably should have been doing.
He don't want you to say that.
He don't want me to put that out there.
Tell it.
But what I'm saying is that there were probably some things that he should have been. Yeah. I mean, you know, there were things that he probably should have been doing that I was, you know, doing. And at that time, I didn't realize that there was a name for that. You know, when you guys are saying enabler, you know, some people probably don't even know what an enabler is, but I learned about that in those Al-Anon meetings, and that's why I said it was such a, you know, an eye-opener and an educational resource. You know, it really helped me to get through, you know, the situation. And I just hope that the information can help someone else, you know, and let the family members know that there are resources out there and places that they can go for support and that can help them, you know, through this situation.
Amen.
Yes. And you know, that was going to be my next question. But, and, you know, I know, you know, one of the things that we had talked about before, and, Mom, you stay close because I want you to touch on it, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, people who begin to get help, family members in particular, who do begin to go and get help, you know, you were telling me how, you know, what your experience was when you first went to the to the support group, okay? And let me preface this by saying, you know, this going into my next question, I'll touch on some of the other stuff. I'll touch on some of the other stuff as we go on, but my next question basically is, you know, what are some options or resources for family members out there that you guys know of, that you guys know of? You may not have, you don't have to, like in Annie's case, she may not have gone to any of these support groups or, you know, for herself, but you may have heard of. But in Mom's case, you have actually gone to these support groups, you know, and some of the resources that are out there, you know of, and you have experience, and I want you to share a little bit of your experience, especially talk a little bit about, you know, what your experience was when you first went there. You can go ahead. Okay, George, her call dropped, but you know, Annie?
I can pick up.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna be honest with you, and you know this. Again, being a bit ignorant about it all, I felt like it was your problem. In the beginning, I felt some kind of way, a little bit of bitterness, even to when you brought up that, hey, maybe you need to go check out a Al-Anon meeting, and this is for the family. And even then, I was resistant because I felt like it was your problem and you should have had it fixed before you came and asked my hand in marriage. And so I had a lot of bitterness because I felt like there's enough for me to deal with on the merit of getting married all by itself. You know, being married is a job in and of itself. It's 3-4 jobs, as a matter of fact. So I was bitter and I didn't like that you put that on me. And so coming from that, I did not want to go to any of the meetings, and I didn't. I mean, I went to some of the meetings with you to support you, but I didn't go to any of the family meetings. I did do my research and online and read some books, and of course through my studies for my degree, I learned some things. My reliance, however, was more on the Lord. I leaned more on God giving me the divine education and divine understanding of how to cope with some of the things that I was dealing with internally, and also how to cope with being married to a recovering addict. But there are definitely so many resources out there. Now, that's just my story. And it, you know, is not for. There may be someone out there who may want to do and go and be more active, but Naranon is another family group, and there's also Codependent Anonymous, because there is a codependency that does happen within the family dynamic, and even friends. You know, any kind of relationship that an addict has, there is that codependency that goes on within a relationship with a recovering or an active addict. And you can find all these online so that you can find one near you. There's one also that I thought was really important, is Adult Children of Alcoholics. Again, as I was saying, even when we grow up, when children grow up out of the active or recovering addict's home, and they move on with their own lives and own selves, there is still some process and some progress that needs to be made for their own internal healing. And so the adult children of alcoholics, they can also learn from that as well, on how to cope, some measures and some strategies and tactics, and just being around other people who have gone through the same ordeal is enough to begin and to initiate that healing process to take it to the next level.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, you're sharing there, and, you know, it's a shame that the my father and my mother, I think their call dropped. I'm not sure what happened, but, you know, I'm sure my mother would probably totally agree with what you were saying, because, you know, one of the things we were talking about, you know, the other day was how, you know, when she said the same thing, you know, she went into the support groups, because, you know, one of the things that are out there for those who are listening, like my wife said, Annie B said, you know, Minister Annie B just shared a couple of what's known as support groups. And, you know, these are things that are out there for family members and loved ones to get help, to get what they call support. And because, as we said before, this is a family, they, you know, call it a family disease for a reason, you know, because it's a condition that affects the family so severely. So, you know, and that's what we've been talking about. So there's a need for family support, you know, for the family to get support.
Yes. That's right.
So, you know, you may want to be a support for your loved one, but there comes a time where the family needs to go and get help. The family member
yes.
needs to go and get help, because you can't do this. And sometimes to be better equipped, you may need some education. You may need someone to come up there and help you to understand what you're dealing with, because how can you fight an enemy that you have no understanding on what's attacking your family? If you don't know what's attacking your family,
yes,
member is behaving the way he is, how can you begin to help them? And I see that that my father and my mother have returned back on. So Joyce B, do you want to jump on and share what was your experience when you first decided to go get help, and what was your experience?
Okay. my experience was, when I first went to the meeting, I was thinking, you know, I was going there for them to tell me, you know, what I needed to do for, you know, the person that, you know, that had the drinking problem. And to my surprise, you know, the script was flipped pretty much. I mean, but it was very helpful. It took me time to realize that, you know, that is what I really needed. Because I went in the meeting, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to tell me what I need to do to help me, you know, be able to deal with, you know, the situation. My mind basically was mainly on, you know, the people that were drinking. And I thought they were going to be able to tell me how to help them to stop. But that's not what the meeting's all about. But, you know, people need to go check it out, learn as much as you can. It does work. It does work. It helps you to be able, you know, to get focused on, you know, getting yourself together and being able to deal with the situation.
Yeah, so that is, you know, what we were talking about the other day. And, you know, for some people, you know, it is a rude awakening, because a lot of times people go in and, you know, the first thing, you know, people think that the Al-Anon meetings are for people to go and to complain about, you know, their loved ones or the people who are using. think that, hey, well, we're going to get in here and, you know, we're going to be able to tell our woe is me stories, and everybody's going to be able to understand, you know, hey, man, these people are putting us through, you know, and,
right.
you know, we need some other people to be able to understand what these people are putting us through. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to get these people to shape up? You know what I mean? Because they need to get their act together, you know, and don't y'all know it, and don't you know, everybody come together and say amen, amen, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, but you know, what ends up happening in these meetings is you get what you need to get, which is not a great chorus of amens to, yeah, that you know, your husband jacked up and my husband jacked up and, boy, we got it rough. No, that's not what it's about. You know, it's about finding out how the family member can remain healthy.
Right.
Because what happens is people don't understand that this addiction actually causes family members to actually get into cycles, unhealthy cycles, and unhealthy behaviors, to practice unhealthy coping mechanisms. You know, people, like we said, you know, that's why it's important to get education, to be prayed up, to pray and to rely on God, because, you know, if you're not relying on God and you're not being educated on what's going on with you and your spouse or you and your family member, basically you're trying to fight a battle without power or knowledge. And so it's very hard to do that. It's very hard to do that. And you know, one of the things that you find in these meetings is that the support groups is they help you to focus on you. When the addict goes to his meeting, they cannot point the finger at their loved ones and their spouse. Or they can't even really point the finger at, say, the person that, you know, may have molested them or the person that may have abused them in their past. You know, we can talk about it, but we cannot use that as a excuse to continue to use or drink. You understand? We have to focus on us. We can't blame our spouses for, you know, making us drink. You know, she made me mad, so I went out and drank. You know, that's not going to cut it in the meetings. You know, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah.
Nor will it cut it. Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt. But
go ahead.
What I was going to say is same thing with, you know, when you're truly being led. And as I said, I didn't go to any of these support groups, but I went straight to the Lord and asked him for help. For my coping, and it was the same thing though. It was okay, focusing on me, focusing on how am I translating all of this. What are the things that I could be doing different? Things that putting the spotlight back on me, and the things that I could change for myself. And when I did that, and also he the Lord showed me how to speak those things that are not as if they were, so that it will come to being, come to fruition. That's the basis of our faith. And so it was speaking that out into the atmosphere so that the angels can take it and declare it. Now, I'm not going to try to preach over here, but I am saying that it definitely is about each person working on themselves, not one person working on the other person. I came into it once I understood what was going on. I was like, okay, I gotta fix this man. But really, I had a huge, you know, tree in my eye while I was trying to pick out the splinter in his. And so it works when you take the focus off of them and look back introspectively to your own self and fix what's going on there, and allow the Lord to do that. And then also, of course, allowing the recovering addict to go through that process of looking at self as well. And then coming back together, you know, you have more, you have a person who is more whole that we're, that you're joining together instead of, you know, broken people, because we're all broken. You know, we all have some issue. Nobody is perfect. And I used to think I was perfect. I used to think I was real close to perfect, but God had to show me some of the things that I was doing that was unhealthy for even his own, his recovery. So thank you for allowing me to interrupt.
No, no, that was great. Did you have anything you wanted to say, Lloyd Sr.?
Actually, I do. I want to apologize. I want to apologize that my phone went dead. And also, you guys pretty much are stealing my thunder. And that is to say that, you know, I want somebody that's, who may be an enabler tonight to listen to this. Everything, what everybody's saying is absolutely true, because you have to take the spotlight off of the addict or the user and put it on yourself, because listen to this. Actually, and I've said this before, you can become addicted to people.
That's right.
Okay? So you can actually become the addict, because you are focusing in it, trying to fix other people, you know, when you're hurting yourself. And
that's
the way
right.
And the way you and the way you cope and with your pain or whatever, you try to fix other people. You become addicted. The person becomes that drug or that whatever, you know, your vice is. You can become addicted to people. So you have to do Minister Annie and George B is saying tonight. You have to go and get help for yourself, because, again, I'll say, you are the addict, if you look at it that way. So you have to go and get some help. I think that's really important, and I really wanted somebody to hear that tonight. So I'm glad that I got an opportunity to just put that in there.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I agree with what you're saying about people becoming. They become dependent on that feeling that people get from being the one in a relationship who is the fixer, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, what happens is people begin to find they begin to become the savior in the relationship, and they feel their worth, they feel their purpose,
yes.
They feel their esteem,
identity.
You know,
yeah.
The identity, and all of that stuff is wrapped up into being the one who puts out the fires for the,
yeah.
You know, the person who's, you know, doesn't have
yeah.
their stuff together. And so what happens is a lot of times, I'm about to touch on it, I think.
Okay,
what happens is a lot of times is when that person begins to get clean, the person who was the savior doesn't know what to do or how to act.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
they will begin to do things to sabotage.
Yes.
To sabotage the recovery of the person who is in newly in the process of healing, because they have gotten so used to that person being needing them to the point to where if they're not doing that anymore, what, you know, they don't know how to behave. They
Absolutely.
Don't know what to do. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable
yeah.
to see that person begin to get better.
Yeah.
And what happens is
yeah.
A cycle begins to play out where the person will
yeah.
begin to do little things and behave in certain ways that,
yeah.
You know, may even begin to pick fights or press buttons, you know.
Yes.
Do things that will cause the other person
yes.
to come off of their square, so to speak.
Yes.
But you know, that these are things that people that you learn about and learn how to identify when you go to places where people are talking about this thing and understand the process. And support groups are a lot of times where you find people and resources where you can get the understanding that you need to be equipped to handle what's going on.
Yeah.
Because like we were saying, you know, we all need help sometimes, you know, and that's why we're doing this show. It's not to try to point the finger at anybody. You know, it's not to try to blame anybody, because one of the things that we want to share tonight is that, because we brought up some terminology that people may not understand. We talked about enablers. We talked about codependency. You know, these are terms that you might not know. But what we can say is that what happens is a lot of times in our efforts to help our family members, sometimes we end up doing more hurt or more harm than good, more harm to ourselves and more harm to our family members, because we don't understand what is actually needed.
Yes.
Okay.
You're not.
So that's why we say, that's why the title of this is Family Get Help, or Get Help, Fam.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Somebody wanted to say something.
No. Yeah. I wanted to say this, that it's important that you know that you can't fix him. You can't fix anybody but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't stress that enough. And what you were saying before, Lord, is so true. It's just like I said before, you are addicted. It's that person is your drug, and when that person, like you said before, Lord, when that person is sober up, you no longer have that drug. Guess what? You go through the same withdrawals. You go through the same symptoms that a person does coming off a drug. I mean, really, it is, folks. So, again, you know, I will say this now, and I won't say anymore. Please don't go into it trying to fix that person. Fix yourself. And oftentimes, what you'll find out when you fix yourself up, because that person know their own garbage. Trust me. Like I said in the beginning of this program, I know the garbage that I was putting out there. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, when you get yourself fixed, when you get yourself fixed, that person gonna, you know, turn around. If they're committed to the relationship, and they're gonna really wanna work to see you healthy. They know you. Trust me, guys. They know you are not healthy. They know it's not healthy for you to be lying for them, stealing for them. They know that. But, you know, so fix yourself, folks. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off the soapbox, and I'm going to let y'all professionals take it out.
No. But, you know, honestly, guys, and I agree with all that's been said, we got about a minute left, and then we're going to go ahead and close out. But if you don't take anything else away from us, what we're saying is, there's help available for the family members and loved ones of those who are struggling with addiction. There are resources out there. Check us out on Facebook. Continue to tune into our show, and we'll be sharing more and more resources like that. And also where you can find out about things such as doing your own moral inventory, you know, learning to do your own moral inventory, learning about the process of recovery, because it doesn't happen overnight. So, and how to cope. How do you cope, you know, in the meantime? You know, these are things that we're trying to share. You know, how do you cope in the meantime when that person, you know, is still exhibiting behavior that you don't like? You know, how do you focus on yourself? What part you play in it? You know, how do you stay healthy? These are things that we're talking about. So continue to tune in. We thank you. Thank you to our guests. And we say God bless you to our listeners. And once again, we thank you for another season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.